In a world where laughter is king,
one man,
a girl, will defy an empire.
Two girls, a renegade cop, a robot renegade.
This
cop.
Summer, the kids are back.
On the edge of space, in a land before time.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards.
That's me.
That's him over there.
Yep.
And this is episode 19. Is it 19?
It is.
Wow.
Mad.
Nearly 20, it is.
Isn't it mad?
Quick maths.
How every week the number goes up.
I love how you kept a straight face on. Yes, it is. It's almost as if that's constantly going to be the way it goes.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. As Yaz once sung in the 90s, the only way is up, of course.
I like that. That might catch on.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Full of coffee at the moment, so... Yeah. Vibrating at the moment. That's what maybe you can hear as a background noise.
What?
Sounds like it might be an aircon in the building, but no, it's me vibrating from caffeine intake.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was just you were so happy about the guest we have on this week's podcast.
Well, you knew how happy I was anyway, because the moment I saw him, I was beaming. And it was fantastic. This week's guest is the fabulous Charlie Simpson. Not the creator of The Simpsons, like I first thought. No, the creator of Fight Star Riffs and Busted Melodies.
I like it.
What a guy. Lovely chap. I'd like to thank Busted and their team for looking after us.
Yeah, they were very accommodating.
We popped down to the Motorpoint Arena in Cardiff and they sorted out. They give us a dressing room. It seems to be a running theme with bands going, oh, we'll sort them out with the dressing room.
I'm not complaining. I mean,
oh, no. Whoa. I'm not complaining, son. I'm just surprised and grateful that anybody'd give us anything.
Yeah, no, it is mad. But I'm really enjoying having our own dressing rooms.
I love it.
It's mad. Yeah.
I like looking at the support bands out in the corridor and not having a dressing room and going, you want to get a podcast, lads? That hasn't happened. I just need to state that hasn't happened yet. But it might soon, hopefully. Fingers crossed. We got to go and see Busted and hang out with Charlie. And in this podcast, he covers everything from Busted's new stuff to giving us exclusives about other stuff he's involved with.
Yes, all kinds of stuff. We're going to get all the details of Busted, Fight Star, his solo work, life in general, and everything else in between.
Yes, top chap, Charlie.
I love him. A lot of you are going to really enjoy this.
Yeah, he's one of our most asked for guests so far as well. So
you asked and we got. Yes.
Nice. I'm glad I finished that sentence because you looked like you didn't know where you were going.
Do you know what I did?
You asked and we've... done some in, I don't know, what we
provided.
We've done that. Make sure you go to our socials. Twitter and Instagram are at sappeninpod, sappeninpod for both of those, and get in touch and tell us who you'd like for future guests.
Yeah, and if you enjoy what's about to come up, let us know, let Charlie know, and just bombard everybody you know and follow with messages to check out this episode of Sapnin Podcast.
Yes, good, nice. Yeah. What else is there?
Well, before we go into it, yeah. Patreon.
Oh, Patreon. Patreon.com/sappenin, S-A-P-P-E-N-I-N. And you can go there, and if you enjoyed this interview or any of the previous ones, please consider becoming a patron of our Patreon, two different words, because that helps us keep this podcast going.
It does. We're loving all the exclusive tiers and benefits and rewards we can give you for being a part of the Patreon as well. And
also, though, my highlight of it all is the fact that from the lowest tier to the highest tier, whichever one you decide to go for, you get access to the Sappenin community group, and that is a top laugh. I genuinely love seeing what people are posting, the interaction people are having between each other, how funny everybody is.
It's a constant bandwagon of laugh.
Yeah, it's a source of entertainment constantly.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not even about things that's going on in the podcast. It's just about people's day-to-day lives.
Yeah, and we've got music recommendations on there as well every week. So,
the other day, someone was asking recommendations about a curry.
Were they?
Yeah, so
I missed that one.
So, bear
the answer is the Mango House in Merthyr.
Well, I don't think an actual place.
What do you mean, then?
Just like what they should have, what one they what, should cook.
Oh, no, not who does a good curry, just what is a good curry.
Yeah.
I think we're going to put people off going to the Patreon now after finding out that people are...
Anyway, but if you're not aware what Patreon is, it's a platform that helps creators create content for you to enjoy, maybe is the best way to
all of us
that.
To enjoy, I suppose. Yeah. It makes it sound like this is a job to us, but we do really love doing this.
I was just trying to speak to the individual who was listening to us.
Oh, okay. Hi, the individual.
Hi, insert name here.
Yeah, so cool. Yeah, check out Patreon out. Patreon.com/Sappenin, S-A-P-P-E-N-I-N. Also, we've got t-shirts available.
Yes, you wanted t-shirts? Well, we've got t-shirts.
Yes.
Merchandise.
Nice. Good
even
advert.
Even though it's only one
merchandise.
Merchandise.
We've got merchandise. Just the one, really.
Yeah.
So we've got t-shirts up now. So if you go to Sappenin-, that's the dash, the little thing. We should have done that better, really. We should have named that better. Sappenin-podcast.myshopify.com. Or if you go to our socials, Twitter or Instagram, at Sappenin Pod, I'm sure there's a link in the top 5 tweets there to the shop, probably.
Or if you're super lazy, then just tweet us asking for a link and we'll probably give you one.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
To be fair, yeah. And yeah, you can get the perfect outfit ready for a festival season coming up. You look absolutely fabulous. You can go and strut around the festivals and just look top of the charts. I don't know where I was going.
Jesus Christ. I watched you die between the eyes then, and that sentence was coming to an end. And you...
I don't know if you've noticed, but I've started doing this thing where I open my mouth and start a sentence without knowing where I'm going with it.
Yeah, that's worrying for a professional broadcaster.
It is.
But anyway, we should move on. Let's get into the interview today. I just realised we did a long interview with Charlie because they give us loads of time. So this bit should have been shorter, but I'm sorry it isn't. And so check out this. This is the interview with Charlie Simpson from Busted/Fightstar. We love him. Thank you very much, Charlie. You're the best.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sapnin!
Yes!
He's got
That's
it!
That's fucking brilliant!
He's got it!
I love it. Yes, as you can just tell, you can't tell from him just saying Sapnin, no way. But you can tell because it says on the intro of the podcast, this week's guest is Charlie Simpson.
Hello!
Yes!
Sapnin. Do you know, I'm just going to start off by saying love the podcast.
Thank you very much.
I've been listening to it. And also, been tweeted a lot of times being like, You have.
I think since we started, you've probably been the number one requested guest.
Well, I am flattered and honoured.
Yep.
So, I'm very excited about it, boys.
I wonder if our listeners are going to drop off after this. Now they've.
Well, now that
they've
Charlie's
got what
here.
They want.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, get Charlie. Oh, they got Charlie. fuck the rest of it. Nobody else on earth. There's 7 billion people, and they can't think of anybody else they want.
That's probably what's going to happen. To be fair, but yeah. don't do that because.
Keep on listening,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for doing this.
Don't be silly.
It's means the world to us, and thank you very much for being very accommodating here at the Cardiff Motor Point Arena.
Yeah. I like this place.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
Why are we here? Why is Charlie playing tonight? Because Charlie is back in Busted. How is that going?
Yes, it's going well, man. We've been doing it for 3 years now. It's been a bit of a crazy journey. Released 2 albums now. One was a sort of quite big sonic departure.
Nice.
And then we come back to sort of do the old stuff, but in a way that, in a way I guess I always wanted it to be back then, but it kind of couldn't be. So I kind of feel like it's sort of, it's come full circle. And the album we've just released halfway there, I really like. And
It's
great.
Really enjoy the songs.
Yeah. As you mentioned, it seems that you've kind of taken the original Busted and added like new elements to it.
It's like a grown up, basically.
Yeah. I mean, back then, I just don't think we could have made this record. Because I think Busted was a different entity back then. Yeah. You know, and it's weird. I mean, we're just completely in control of what we're doing. I work with Gil Norton, who's an absolute legend.
Awesome.
But I remember sort of banging my head against the wall last, 2003 when we were making the records, saying, oh, I just want to have the drums louder and I want to have the guitars louder. But obviously we were on a major record company and Busted was being marketed a particular way.
Yeah.
So we couldn't really do that, which I guess eventually led to me leaving. But I think now, you know, coming back, it's just everyone is on the same page. We're in control of our destiny. It's great, man. But the funny thing is, I think we wouldn't, but you know, it ending in 2005 has led to this being able to happen now.
Hmm.
I think if we hadn't have sort of split up when we did, I think that it maybe would have been a different outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
it would have fizzed. And then,
we never know.
Because we never ended up hating each other.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that we were at the point where our friendship stayed intact. I think we could have possibly ended up resenting each other. And we sort of pulled the plug when that happened, kept the friendship.
Nice.
Put it on ice.
Yes.
And then thawed it.
This is what I'm trying to do with the blackout now. I've literally frozen Gavin. Gavin's in a block of ice in Merthyr, not been able to move.
As long as he's got those blue eyes, I think.
he'll always have their blue eyes.
You'll be all right.
He dies, and I'm going to spoon him out of his head, and I'm going to keep him on my mantelpiece. He's got lovely blue eyes. They're worth keeping.
That's a weird image.
He's a good-looking chap, isn't he?
He is lovely on the ice, yeah.
You described him as housewife's choice in the previous...
Yeah, he was, our band. In our band, you'd find that all the housewives were big fans of Gavin.
Really?
Yeah. Blue eyes and a beard.
Did he like...
Man, innit? And then he look at me with my lady's haircut and my long head shaped like a...
I love the fact that your haircut hasn't changed in 15 years. The colours come out.
Hardly aged, isn't it? It's weird, isn't it? Like, it's just got dark. It looks like it's got dirty.
I did the same thing, because I did the highlight thing for a long time.
You did, yeah.
And it was a big thing for me to take them out, because I always saw myself as blonde. I was blonde when I was younger.
Yeah.
And then my wife's like, you do realise you're not blonde anymore. And I was like, that's fucking rubbish. Ask my hairdresser, he says I'm blonde. He says you're dark blonde, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, a few different people said to me, I think you should go natural. I think it's time to go natural. And so I sort of went natural. And then I was like, oh, actually, you know, it kind of works. Feel a bit more grown up.
I still use...
feel less like a 15-year-old.
I still use blonde emojis when I'm, like...
Do you? Yeah.
Play into people.
There's something, though, there's something that about me not being blonde that annoys me.
Yeah, snap.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I would say you're about the same as me.
Yeah.
Dark blonde. What's the... But, you know, my wife can't take that. She says I'm brown.
Bloody women. Bloody women. Always ruining fun, innit? Oh,
I love her. I do love her dearly, though.
Oh, that's fair enough.
But, yeah, going back to what you said, you know, coming back to Busted now, these last 3 years, I think it's safe to say there was a time where no one thought this would happen. How did that journey getting back together originally come about? I mean, was it...
Do you know what it was? Funnily enough, the first time that I... obviously, I Busted had when I left, because of everything that happened with Fightstar, and Fightstar had to go through a lot to be able to sort of be accepted and get to where it was, and that was a big personal struggle for me and the band. And I think that in a way, it put Busted in my mind as something, not negative, but something I sort of had to put away and sort of
cut. Is that because you saw the...
I saw the negative effects it had on what I was doing.
Was negative compared to the rock world.
Exactly.
Like,
And in hindsight, that was completely wrong to think. But the person that unlocked that for me was Jordan from Bring Me the Horizon.
Because
I was on Warped Tour with them, and like I remember being on Warped Tour and people would be talking about Busted, and I was like, yeah, no, but I did that thing and it's cool, but look at Fightstar, look at my own stuff, and he was like, he just said to me, dude. You know, Busted was awesome. You don't have to sort of think about it in this way that is a negative.
Yeah.
And I guess, and I sort of thought to myself, do you know what? It's so true. And that sort of, that was a big shift in my mindset. And, you know, events unfolded after that led me back. But that was sort of the first time that I'd sort of, actually thought to myself, do you know what? This negativity that's built in my mind. And that was, you know, I would still say that's fair enough of me to have thought because, you know, I had, you know, you were there, you know, 2005, Reading, 2006, Reading, you know, the first time we played Reading, it was a tough time, man. You know, people were like sort of arms crossed, fuck off, impress me. And it was like a sort of us against the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, and as this time progressed and we released more albums, you know, I think people sort of came around to it and we ended up... You know, forging our own way. Yeah. But it was a weird mental battle for me. For those 5 years, it was a weird mental battle.
Imagine, but that's what that's... Like, I think that's more in you. Like you thinking that is more you thinking that than everybody else thinking.
Well, possibly
that.
It was, yeah.
Because I remember, we did like, one of your first tours after Busted with Fightstar. And I remember... Yeah, we'd see you. Like, the first day I saw you was in Portsmouth, and you were, like, instantly, what's the word?
Dickish.
No, far from it. No, it was funny. It was really funny. No, you were being, what's the word? Wrapped in cotton wool by everyone then.
Yeah.
So, we felt like we couldn't come near you, and everybody was like, Mr. Simpson. And there was one moment, you came in our dressing room, and I think you were... The Fightstar boys had two somewhere else, and you came in our dressing room, and we went, "Oh, fuck off, Simpson!" straight away, and I think you were just like, and then you know there was us who were just, you know, treating you like anybody else.
But I loved that, and I loved, you know, being on tour with all the bands that I loved, and it was, you know, that sort of 2005 to 2010 were really special years for me because I was doing a lot of the stuff. You know, I did, you know, first time around with Busted, we did the most amazing stuff. You know, it was like a dream.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the stuff that I'd grown up dreaming of doing, like playing Reading Festival, playing the London Astoria, all those things, I hadn't actually done. So to sort of go back and then fulfill that side of my, you know, contentment was really enriching for me. And so, yeah, I mean, it's been a crazy journey. I mean, it's been a wild ride from 16. But I feel like now I'm sat here in this dressing room And I feel like I haven't got anything to prove anymore. And if anyone has an issue with me, then I can just literally say, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't care. And I went through years of caring so much. I went through so much anguish of thinking I need to prove myself in this way, or I need these people to understand who I really am or what music I really like. And now it's just like, do you know what? I've done what I feel I needed to do. And
Yeah, well, with that, obviously, you know, you've mentioned throughout your career, you've done things completely different, and every project has been completely separated from each other, you know, going from Busted to Fight Star, even your solo stuff. Yeah. Those are three completely different subgenres and fan bases.
Yes.
Look at, when you look back at everything, are you just...
I'm schizophrenic.
When you look back at everything, are you just really glad that you've been able to dip your toes in all those different worlds
and
make a collection of music
absolutely
that reflects your
I mean, my solo stuff was again a complete shift again. People are like, what the fuck, man, like is he gonna make a rap album next? But you know, I don't tempt me.
I was gonna say big got the nickname Big C, but then you sound like chlamydia or cancer. Nobody wants that. It's the worst possible.
I'm joking. I grew up loving, you know, Deftones, one of my favorite bands of all time. But I also love Jackson Browne. I loved Elliott Smith. I loved Jeff Buckley. I loved all that music, and I loved a lot of pop music as well. You know, I like great written, you know, very well written songs, the Beatles.
Yeah.
So for me, it wasn't that weird. It was just like a natural thing to be able to express myself with music that I liked. And I found that, especially back then, you know, it was the genre divide was so rigid. You had to be pigeonholed into this one thing, even within the subgenres of the rock music, world. Is it this or is it that? Whereas I feel like now there is everything has been blurred, really. So it's much easier now. But I think that, for me, I just wanted to express myself and express the music that I love, and they just happen to be quite different musical styles.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, speaking of Fight Star, a lot of people have asked us what's going on with that music at the moment, because you said when you rejoined Best that you would be open to doing a lot more Fight Star and solo stuff away from the band.
Yes.
So has there been any talks or thoughts of maybe sneaking in a couple of Fight Star shows writing sessions?
I've always thought to myself, I have done a couple of writing sessions already.
Okay.
I wrote some the other day, actually, which is which I quite liked. But I'm not a fan of doing different things at the same time.
Okay.
I feel like you need to focus on one project at a time to give it your full focus. But we will definitely do stuff with Fight Star again.
Awesome.
You know, the Busted Boys, we've all been quite open about the fact that, you know, we love doing this, but there'll definitely be times where we take time out to do other projects. You know, Matt likes doing his acting stuff and James is doing his musicals. So, you know, so there'll be a point where we say, look, guys, let's take a break and do other stuff, but can't put an exact time limit on that at the moment.
Yeah, of course.
But you know, whenever I get a guitar in my hand, especially seven string, the riffs start to come out.
And also, you've got to find time in between Omar being in Advent.
I know, and films, mate. He's in the new Aladdin.
Is he?
Mate, I don't know if this is public knowledge, so we might have to check this before we put this out. But he is going to be. He had a scene with Will Smith. He was directed by Guy Ritchie. I don't know if this is public. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. Oh, it could be a scoop.
Yes!
Omar is in Aladdin.
Yes!
He's been... I was driving down the motorway the other day. I looked around. I was like, what the fuck is Omar doing on a Tesco's truck?
I was watching TV the other day. I was like...
And he was in that advert, that PPI advert.
I was like, that's the worst Arnold Schwarzenegger impression I've ever... I know him. I wonder if he can get me that Arnie gig, because I can do a better Arnie than that fella.
Yeah.
And then I was watching someone else. Oh, he's in the Meerkats advert. Is he in that as well?
Is he?
I'm sure he is. Mate. I'm sure he like.
He's getting I do love that boy. He's a big cuddly bear, is Omar.
Yeah.
He's a sweetheart.
Work with the old ads. Fair play to him.
He is, mate. They obviously got something that they like.
Oh, do you know?
But going off the Fight Star thing, one bit of the new Busted album I really like is the fact you brought a Fight Star massive scream at the end of '90s.
I did. I was not sure about it. Matt and James really wanted me. I did it as a sort of a joke at the end.
Okay.
And I was just in the moment, and I was like, no, I think that's too much. And they were like, no, let's do it. And Gil was like, yeah, do it. So I was like, all right. You don't want to sort of. I thought it'd be nice to sort of keep them different, but.
Yeah.
It's good. I like it. Yeah. It's one of my favorite songs on the album. That one.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
So what would you say was your highlight of your time with Fight Star?
Was there anything in the rock world and specifically you think you really stands out for you when you
I
were...
I mean, the Reading performance 2009, because obviously we did 2006 and it was pretty difficult. Mm. We had a pretty tough time. Came back in 2007, the next year, and it was much better. But I was crying awards the night before and I was so shit-faced. I mean, literally, I went to bed at about 7 in the morning. I left the door to my house open. And then I was just in bed, fully clothed, and I woke up and there was my phone next to my pillow. There was 86 missed calls.
Wow.
And I just woke up to the Five-Star Boys charging into my house, grabbing me and pulling me out of the van, like, you know, tumbling me into the van, shooting down to Reading. The tour manager on the phone being like, I think we're going to miss this. I think, you know, they're going to have to pull it. And I was still completely shit-faced. And I walk out, it was our first main stage performance. I can't believe it's so ridiculous I did this because I was so excited about playing, but Krang Awards. You know, I mean, it always gets you. So I literally got there, arrived, went on stage. I don't actually remember that much of it. I'm not proud of that because I don't get drunk for shows. I like to be fully focused for shows. People are paying to see you. You know, you owe them the respect of being sober-minded. I mean, some people probably get off on being intoxicated enhancing their performance. For me, I like to be more controlled. But I was fucking shit-faced, and I couldn't really... I just, it's a blur to me, the performance. So I was like, I came off stage, and I was like, that cannot be my memory of main stage Reading. And so we then came back in 2009, and I was like, this time I'm going to, you know, really get myself with it. So went on stage, and literally to this day, one of my favorite performances of all time. We had like 40, 50,000 people watching. Like, sun was out, massive circle pit with dust just rising off.
Nice.
And that was almost like a sort of... It was one of my most triumphant moments in my career of, you know, this is a real dream made. And so that was really special.
Yes, yeah, as if people had finally taken to it.
Exactly. It was almost like the stamp of, okay,
yes,
that's it, I mean, done, job done.
What people surprised you the most? Was there anybody who was really nice that you didn't expect, or anyone who was a dick who you didn't expect?
I'll tell you what, everyone was cool. I mean, we must have... I just feel bad about slagging people off.
It's all right. You don't have to. No. I have.
I mean, there's some bands that... I remember doing the Krang tour, and I remember Coheed, who I'm a big fan of, were less... They sort of didn't really speak to us, or didn't really speak to anyone, which I found... You know, I feel like when you go on tour, and I'm not dishing the dirt, you know, they're nice people, but... I find that when you take people, or when you go on tour with another band, it's just a family.
Yeah,
you know, it's camaraderie. It doesn't matter if you're playing first or if you're the headliner. All that stuff is bullshit to me.
Yeah.
I just love the sense of camaraderie you have on tour. You know, we've toured together. We've had just awesome times. And I don't think most people I met were cool. I think I was taken aback by how cool people were.
Yeah,
because I think the rock scene is seen as this quite intimidating place.
Yeah.
And I think that it's only intimidating if what you're doing isn't real.
Yeah.
Like, because I think the rock community can sniff out bullshit within a mile and they will rip you apart for it. But if what you're doing comes from the soul and it's genuine and it comes from a real place, I think that everyone is totally inviting and they are, you know... It's a lovely group of people, and so I thought that was nice. That, you know, especially when it came to the journalists and stuff. I remember our first interview with Krang, this guy called Tom Bryan, and he really scared the shit out of me when he first interviewed me, because I know he was just sat there being like, I want to not like this. I want you to be a dick. I want this to not be real. I want this and that, you know. And I just sat with him for about an hour, and he, by the end of it, was just like, fair play, mate. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, that was like, it's as long as it's real.
Hmm.
In the rock community, you're good.
Yeah. But did you feel with Fight Star you had a lot of those problems of just trying to not maybe prove yourself, but in some aspects have to answer a lot of critics for just unnecessary things?
Yeah, but I mean, but then I understood why.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not as if... I think it's funny when you see people that don't understand why. And again, it goes back to the fact that if you don't understand why, it probably means that you...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But no, I you know, it was we had an uphill climb, but fuck, it made it all the more awesome. You know, it made that Reading performance all the more special.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
But you know what? It was a funny time because rock music in between 2005, 2010 was just like a golden era, you know, yeah. with all the bands.
Oh, yeah.
It was the mainstream music, and like now it's weird because like where the fuck is guitar music gone?
Strange.
It's just not there.
Yeah.
And because you know the Spotify things come along, it's huge now, and I just feel like the algorithm for guitar music isn't that good.
Nope.
And the kids aren't listening to it. They're all listening to sort of, you know, stuff made on a laptop, and that must change. I'm sure it's going to come back around, but it's fine.
Yeah,
it feels like sort of rock is waiting in the wings to pounce again.
No, I believe that. I found doing this, and I started another band, so we've started playing shows again. I feel like it's there. Rock music is underlying, and it's coming back.
It is, man. I feel like it is.
It's
going to
be
the
next couple of years now. There's going to be something that makes this happen that's going to blow it all wide open.
I agree.
And that's what I feel inside anyway.
I agree, man. But you did feel, you have felt this sort
yeah.
of
oh, yeah,
submergence back into the shadows.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, I had an instant drop off. The drop off, right, from being popular from being popular and in a band, right, to being not known at all is literally about 4 weeks, I reckon. Because we split up and I was like, it's all right, man, I've still got this haircut, I should be all right. I'll be able to walk through town and people will be like, yeah. Oh, I bet you used to be a blogger. Nah, wrong. I saw a kid the other day with a fringe in town, right, and I was like, oh, here we go now. Bound to get stopped now with the missus. Give her a nudge. Look at him, yeah. Watch this now. Oh, he's just walked past and haven't even looked at me. Oh, not even a second look. Like a right dick. Aww. But yeah, sad times. But
it's coming back, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Rock music's coming back. I don't know if I'm coming back, but I am trying.
Yeah, well, speak about rock music making a comeback. The production on this tour with Busted looks like you've gone all out to that next level of stuff and really trying to put out really pop rock kind of state arena kind of show.
Do you know what? Like, it's fucking great playing these shows because you know you really can go to town on the sort of performance element of it.
Mm.
You know, again, it's that change of mindset. You know, growing up, I probably thought, well, I don't want to. You know, it's you don't want to make it too sort of theatrical. But actually, you know, when you go and see a show and there's fireworks going off and there's you know, fire, and that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
And it's I feel very privileged that not many people get to go up on stage and do this at this level. So I feel incredibly humbled.
Did you see any of Parkway Drive's?
Mate, that's like, it was just like a pit roast. Oh. It was just like Red Dog Saloon. Like. I was grilling beef.
Literally, just fire all around. Yeah,
I've never seen so much fire in my life.
Oh, they were shooting fire over their own heads.
Yeah.
Were they playing here? Were they?
Yeah.
And
it was like shooting from the side,
mate.
He's mad. Yeah,
I never. I feel like I haven't paid enough attention to Parkway Drive because I don't actually know them that well. Yeah. But it's sort of beatdown stuff, isn't it?
It used to be.
Yeah,
this is what we talked about with him. Basically, they've gone a bit more rock and a bit more.
Yeah, it's a bit more. Not old school heavy metal, but that kind of thing on top of what they've already done.
A lot more guitar harmonies and stuff now. But like Iron Maiden meets
bit more
Guns N' Roses meets Pantera
kind of,
sometimes.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
With singing vocals or
singing? Yeah, and shouting.
Shouting mainly.
Yeah.
But all this stuff prior to this latest album was, like he says, isn't it? Seven different breakdowns.
Yeah.
Who's going to bash some invisible ninjas was the sentence.
Yeah.
Let's put another bit in that makes people bash invisible ninjas. So they've gone a bit rock and roll. And yeah, it's good, the new album.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
They're Australia's second ever biggest band.
Are they?
Yeah, behind AC/DC.
Must be behind Silverchair.
No, AC/DC. So bigger than Silverchair now.
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's mad.
You say that, and I was like,
What? That's quite mental. I do love a bit of the chair.
Oh, yeah.
The chair will always hold a special place in my heart.
16-year-old Daniel.
Right in those wrists. What a cunt.
Unbelievable. 16 or something like that. He was, wasn't he?
He was. He was 15. Right in Madman.
I know. He riffed so much, he's got crippling arthritis.
I know. And I heard his new stuff, it's really gone into a different place. Sort of electronic Beatles vibe.
Oh, really?
Oh, but wow. He did go out with Natalie Imbruglia.
That is true.
He did.
We're married, didn't he?
Yeah. I stood next to her once at
V Festival.
Did you?
Stood
next to her. And she was with Frankie.
Did you smell her?
Of Travis. No, I had my ex-girlfriend there at the time. My ex-girlfriend was like, oh my God, it's Natalie Imbruglia. Can I ask her for a photo? And I was like, please don't. No, not when we side the stage. Don't ask her for a photo. No, that's very... Oh, she have. And then, yeah, Franny Lee from Travis come over, took Natalie Imbruglia, and they buggered off. Oh. And then my ex-girlfriend at the time was like, she used to shoot heroin into her nails, apparently. And
did she?
Like,
what?
What? Did she?
No.
So
she got all of that from a photo with her.
Yeah, quicker than her nails. Well, it's heroin nails, surely. Yeah, that's what she claims, yeah. Anyway. But
playing these shows with Busted again, I mean, you hadn't played any of the old songs in such a long, long time. Is there any in particular that you've missed playing or you've found a new love for?
Well, I tell you what I did when I came back. I said, you know, can we sort of rework some of these songs and make them like... the sort of the album we've just made.
Yeah.
And so we did actually rework a lot of them, got the old detuning out, you know, and sort of made them more, sort of reimagined them in the way that we thought, again, they probably couldn't have been done back then. But I think are really cool now, I really suit them. So it's because, you know, because I was always a huge, like growing up, huge fan of Starting Line, fan of, you know, all Blink fans, obviously Jimmy World, Sugar Cult. That was a lot of the stuff that influenced the band originally, but obviously the production was a lot more pop. You know, that worked really well. I'm not saying that was not the right decision, but it wasn't what I would have liked to have done if we could have done that. And so it's lovely now to have come back and sort of reimagined it. And I think that, you know, the audience has grown as well. That's what's crazy. Like some of the girls here are like, I was five when I first saw you. And I was like...
That's mad.
I was like, that is mental.
Yeah. Yeah.
My son is nearly four and he's like, God, I don't talk properly yet. So it's so weird, mate. Oh,
it's weird, yeah.
But it's great. But it's amazing. God. But I mean, then what's great about it is it's amazing seeing these kids grow up. And, you know, they went on their own musical journey. They got into Green Day. You know, they got into Jimmy World. Some of them ended up getting into heavy music, like, you know, like Follow Fightstar or got into Bring Me the Horizon. So it's funny seeing them out there now because it's like they are more sort of in tune with us now than I think they ever were back then.
Well, I'll be honest, that's me. You know, for my first gig was seeing Busted in Newport Centre.
Right.
So all
I didn't know this! Yeah.
That was my first ever gig. Yeah.
This is brilliant!
So that's full circle.
Well, you are the perfect candidate.
I am. He's fucking 23, man. He's a child and he's 23.
No one likes you when you're 23 as well, as Blink was to say.
That's good, man. I think it's really nice to look out and see. And actually, what's cool is that there's some younger kids now. So there's the classic brother sister pass down.
Nice.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, I saw it when I went to see Metallica the other day, and there was like a 10-year-old kid singing every word. And James Hetfield just stopped and said, "Dude, you're really young, man. Like, what's your story? How did you get into Metallica?" And he was like, "You know, my dad bought me. You know, he got me into the music." And he's like, "That's another generation of Metallica fans that's going to come through."
It's crazy.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
That you can sort of be passed down the generations. So I think that was cool.
I wonder if that will always keep them as that headlining band now.
I think it definitely will. And I imagine with Foo Fighters, imagine at that level. Because if you think about it, how would they keep... If you don't appeal to a new audience, it would probably start to decline. Yeah. You'd have to keep renewing the audience.
But then also, will bands ever get to that level again? Like, will we ever have a...
Well, I don't know.
Metallica? Well, that's the question.
Well, what, you mean a rock band?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I'd it'd be very sad to think that it won't. But as I say, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say that a lot of people mention with, like, heavier festivals, when Metallica, Maiden, all them are gone... Who's headlining those festivals?
Who is? Yeah. I mean, I'm annoyed that Bring Me aren't headlining Download.
Mm.
I think they should be. I think that those festivals should be making it a point of bringing younger bands up the ranks because they just keep putting Iron Maiden on. Yeah. Then, you know, I just don't think that sends a great message to younger bands. And you're right, who's going to take the mantle?
Yeah. Someone's got to, haven't they?
Yeah.
I think, who's doing 20...
It's like, Glastonbury, get the Killers back on.
Yeah,
get Kings of Leon back on. People have only seen them 5,000 times.
I think with, I can't remember what I was going to say about Download. Oh, no, Reading. Yeah, they've got like 21 Pilots.
21 Pilots, Post Malone.
I'm loving Post Malone.
Same.
I mean, dude, over the last 3 years, he has been my favourite artist. Mm. And that's weird because I don't really like that kind of music. Yeah. But something about him that I think is genius.
Yeah,
well, love it.
Well, there's bits of it. I'm like, oh, well, that's just rock
music. He's a rock guy.
Yeah.
He's a rock guy.
He's a rock kid, yeah.
So, and maybe that's something to do with it. Yeah. Because, yeah, I just think he's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's nuts, isn't it? Yeah.
And I think also if you see any videos of him just being about and being himself, he's just such a lovely... It seems like he's such a lovely chap.
Down-to-earth guy.
Yeah, but I saw a video. He was DJing some night somewhere in America, I think. And he put on My Chemical Romance.
Oh, I think it was Emo Night LA.
Going, yeah, and he's just going... Absolutely, like, going for it. And you can just tell that, like, he grew up on that kind of music.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, yeah, and going back to people talking to you, saying that they first saw you when they were young and stuff. I think a lot of people, when Busted originally parted ways, felt kind of like you'd, I don't know, broken their heart.
Deserted
maybe.
Them.
Yeah.
Oh. Mate, you, apparently the amount of people I see...
Yeah, have you had a lot of that? People,
yeah.
Yeah,
have I? That sort of stabby look in their eyes. Mate, honestly...
Yeah, at first it's that look of, oh, that's... What did he do?
He ruined my childhood.
Honestly, man, I think because I was in the centre of it, I didn't really grasp it. But it was quite a big deal that day, you know. And there were a lot of kids that were very upset, and I totally sympathise with those kids, you know. And now a lot of them come up to me and say, "I fucking hated you for years," and it's like, you know. But I'm like, I can't apologise for doing something that I had to do for my own. My own sort of myself
worth
yeah. Exactly it was yeah it was I was in such a difficult place and dark place in my own mind, and that sounds really over the top, but it was I really was like I just can't do this, and it was nothing to do with the fact that I was ungrateful, because I was so grateful to everyone. And you know, Busted fans have been incredible to me. They've, you know, they'd given me so much. But I don't think anyone would want me to have stayed and just been miserable. And I think, as I said before, it's that time apart and us going our own ways allowed us to come back now. And I enjoy this now much more than I ever did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. But yeah, it's funny, man. You do see it, that sort of look.
You fucking cunt. And now he's got him back again.
You better not leave again.
Oi,
I'm fucking watching you.
You think you're going?
anytime I do anything else again, I'm going to have to put a caveat in. It's not the end. We will come back.
Thank you. Good night. Honest to God, we'll be back. I promise. Oh my God, no. Sorry, I didn't mean good night. I gotta go. Just like that every time.
Oh. We've talked a little bit about Halfway Then being a bit more of a nod to the earlier stuff, but the album before that, coming back with Night Driver.
Yes, that was a curveball.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Just that was a right old curveball.
Just a little bit, but in a way.
I mean, mate, when I showed that to my friends, they were like, they loved it. They were like, mate, what hole did you go into to then come back out of? You sort of been like doing 80s funk music.
Yeah.
But you know what? Basically, when James and I got together, we just started hanging out for the first time in 10 years. We literally didn't speak for a long time. Not because we didn't want to, but because we just, you know, we were on such different journeys. We just started hanging out, and James just said, you know, he played me a couple of songs that he'd been working on over the years. And funny enough, we were both listening to Bruce Hornsby. Nice. Loved Bruce Hornsby. Yeah. And I was like, dude, I love this stuff. I've been listening to a lot of that sort of 80s-inspired stuff. And James said, why don't we go to Philadelphia, just really under the radar, and just write some stuff and see what comes out. And so we went over there and worked with this guy called Eric Brazilian, who he wrote, like, God, If God Was One of Us, you know.
Nice.
He played guitar on Time After Time, Cyndi Lauper. Oh, wow. I mean, I held the guitar that's on Cyndi Lauper's record.
I love it.
And, you know, we just ended up having a bit of a session, spent a week in Philadelphia, and we just ended up really liking the tunes, and it just all naturally moved in that direction. And I think that because we hadn't played music together for such a long time, we didn't think it needs to sound like this or it needs to sound like that. We're just like, let's just make stuff that we're all on the same page with, because that's the most important thing. We have to be together in this for it to work. And so, yeah, we went to LA and we made this record, and I love that record. Yeah. You know, and I think it did surprise a lot of people, because obviously it was, in a way, it was a new band.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was great. It was, I definitely think, I think that it needed to happen sort of to set Busted apart from what it was, and also from the fact that, you know, they were doing the Busted thing. I think we wanted to set ourselves apart from that. To be able to then come back around and make this record.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, on some elements, did you think you needed that curveball to really go back to halfway there?
Absolutely. I think there was a great sort of pivoting point to show something else, to show us in a different light, to then swing back around.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well done. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. Well done, you.
Did you ever tour with Deftones?
I didn't. I would love to have done. I've met Chino a couple of times.
You're making it sound like that's not a future impossible.
Could happen.
It could happen. Yeah. Absolutely could. I've met him a couple of times. I remember doing a red carpet at the Kerrang Awards and doing the interview thing. I just got so nervous. Yeah. I hate talking. Mate, if I have to talk in front of five people, I hate it. I can sing in front of a million. Yeah. But honestly, I did my brother's best man speech the other day with my other brother, and I just get more nervous about that than anything. So, like, being on the red carpet interviewing, I was like, this doesn't feel natural at all. Yeah. You guys do it very well.
Thank you.
But no, we're just...
Well, I'm a journalist,
loosely, yeah.
To be fair, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. But he was a very, very lovely man. I'm sure I've slipped him a couple of five-star CDs now and then.
I interviewed him on the red carpet.
We did Wine Summer together, do you remember?
Look at this photo I've got on my phone. Look at this photo. I found this the other day.
That was awesome. Cambridge Corn Exchange was my favourite rendition of that.
Oh, watch this photo. You will not like it.
Photo.
Oh, here we go.
What is going on there?
I'm going to have to put this up now.
I'm about to snog you.
I know. It's like you've forgotten what the microphone is, and I might be the microphone. Like,
mate, I'm about to stick my tongue in your mouth. Your mouth is open, and my tongue is about to go inside.
If I sing directly into his lungs, this might come back up somehow. That's what that looks like.
Mate, that is an odd photograph.
We'll have to throw that up on our social media.
What is that about?
I don't know.
Was that a fan picture?
No, that of us in... Yeah. I think the Underworld. Did we play the Underworld together? I think we did, yeah.
We did.
We were doing the...
No, I'd love to play them. I mean, it's funny with Deftones, because I'm still getting my head around Gore.
Are you?
Yeah. I am. I'm
not too keen on it.
They are like untouchable musical gods to me. I mean, they just love everything they've ever done. But there's something about Gore which I wasn't immediately like, again, just, I love this so much. I don't know what it is. I need to give it a few more listens. But it's interesting. And Steph Carpenter, I think, said in a couple of interviews that he sort of pulled back from the creation of that record. Because obviously he likes the heavier stuff. And Deftones to me are at their best when it's that pure mixture of just unbelievable melody and crushing riffs. I haven't settled with Gore. Yeah, but I'm sure I will.
Is that the latest?
Yeah, they're working on new things now.
Yeah,
I believe. Is
it Noi? I don't even know what it's called.
Yeah, Koi Noi Gyokan, yeah. Just Swerve City on it.
That riff.
I think White Pony is probably the best thing ever made. I mean, it's just the drum sound is a joke.
Yeah.
Terry Date is another one I'd like. Another little bucket list tick I'd like to do is to work with old Tezza.
Oh, it'd be good. Fight Star album with Tezza.
Yeah, that'd be good. But Deftones, man. It's funny because I don't listen to... I don't know if it's because there's not as much of it coming through the ranks, but I find with rock music it's much harder to please me these days, and that might be my age.
Yeah.
Do you know, maybe that's just music in general, because I always seem to hark back to the stuff I grew up on, but I think maybe that's a natural human element.
Yeah,
I think
that's all of us, really.
It's hard for something to smash me right through your heart now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Do you get that?
There hasn't been anything that's... What have I been... Yeah, SoundCloud rappers are pretty much the only thing that I've been like, oh,
there's a few new bands, but there are times where I always just go back to the old Taking Back Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
Jimmy World.
That was awesome. I do really like, the new Bring Me stuff. Big fan of Bring Me the Horizon. Mm. Big fan of Architects.
Nice.
I really like the While She Sleeps stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of guys flying the flag at the moment, which is cool. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you could tour, is there any one of those bands you'd love to tour with, a fight star, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, Deftones, I'd love to play a show with.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, bring me. I mean, Ollie texted me, actually, when he heard the latest fight star record. He listened to Sync with the Snakes and said we should do some stuff together. And I've actually become really good friends with Jordan because we did Warped Tour together and I ended up spending a lot of time with him. And they're just super nice dudes, man.
Nice. Yeah.
Did you do Warped Tour?
Yeah, 2009.
It's just such a fun...
10 years ago.
Mate, it's such a fun summer, isn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's like just like fun camp.
Yeah, all we heard of Americans were like, dude, it's so fucking hard, man. It's so fucking hard. And we were like, bro, it's waking up at fucking 10 a.m. every day, moving your gear about 50 foot, and then hanging out with everybody
and
else
getting
for the
trashed
rest
at
the
end in an awesome barbecue.
Yeah, looking at lovely American women all day. Yeah, or real hard. Yeah, really hard. You fucking... Some of them were in vans, and I don't doubt it is.
But to be fair, when I did it, I was on the acoustic stage, and Kevin Lyman put me on a bus that was for that stage. So nice. All the acoustic artists, because obviously it was just us and guitars. So we had a really dreamy time. But seeing some of the bands not in buses, vans, I was like, in their sweltering heat in fucking Houston, Texas, pushing their gear on stage on a hangover. Not very nice, mate. Without text.
I was telling someone in a previous episode about... we shared a bus with a band called Versa Emerge.
Are they English?
No.
American?
No, they're American. The drummer was bragging that he hadn't showered for 4 weeks. Yeah, it was 4 weeks in the end.
Really?
And his girlfriend came and stayed on the bus with him.
That's
and we were like...
That's disgusting.
He's gonna... Oh, no. And mate, I was sleeping in the bunk above him. I never smelt him once.
Really?
I would have set fire to him.
Tour buses can just be quite grim places, can't they?
People people just think they're luxury.
Oh, my God. I mean, I remember... I've had some funny memories on tour buses, just, you know, Jägermeister flying around, just doing crowd surfing, like to metal, just dancing around. Yeah. But I remember this one time, and I won't say who the band is, but we were sharing a bus with our band, and then we were just getting this girl on, like we got one of the fans on or whatever. And I remember thinking, oh, it's like, you know, that's weird. And then I turned around about 10 minutes later, and his bum was just poking in and out of the curtain, going, and I was like, that is disgusting. I was like, could you not go and find a hotel? No, it's going to bring us straight here.
Yeah, people don't realise those buses, they're just like corridors and then 12 coffins. That's all it is.
And you've got a duck.
Smelly men.
Oh, lots of smelly men. Oh, it's horrible.
Nice. Yeah, it is grim. Yeah. But good fun.
Yeah, miss it every day. Yeah. Oh, I miss it every day. What a weird moment that was. Oh, I hate the smell of men. Miss it every day.
Bringing up Jägermeister, that's just reminding me. Don't you actually hold... Oh, is it a world record for the coldest gig?
Gig, I do indeed. I went to a place called Omjakon in Serbia.
Nice.
Took about 4 days to get there through the Siberian. What did I just say? Siberian mountains, not Serbia. Yeah. Siberian mountains. And we had like a... Have you watched the show Walking the Nile? Walking the Americas? You haven't seen that on Channel 4?
No.
Okay, so there's this guy, Levison Wood, who was our sort of tour guide. And he's actually become a huge TV expeditionist now. But he took us. And it was just so funny because it was just like, what are we doing? We're just like going further and further into the mountains. We got to this little village. It's the coldest inhabited place on Earth. So it was minus 40 degrees. And I had to basically play for 15 minutes with an audience. And the audience had to be paying customers. Because they don't use money, they paid with fish.
No!
So basically...
Is this mentioned anywhere in this fucking list? That's fucking brilliant.
So they came in the morning, they handed their fish over. I was like, thank you very much. I fucking hate fish, but thanks. And I got my guitar and I said to my manager came with us, and I was like, how are we going to do this? Because if I can't play with gloves because it would just sound terrible. I mean, it probably sounded terrible anyway, but I mean, it's cold and the guitar's out of tune, so it wasn't about the performance. It was about just... I wasn't going to release an EP. on here, live from Omnicon.
Live from Lapland. Yeah. Charlie Simpson. I can't move my fingers, it froze on like that.
So I cut the tops of my fingers off. That's right. Of my gloves off.
Ooh, that's a different story.
And I started playing, and I was about 10 minutes in, and I honestly, it's one of the most painful things I've ever endured, because when the cold sets in, the expedition guy said if I'd gone on for 5 to 10 more minutes, I would have started to get frostbite.
Wow.
And the excruciating pain, I was just trying to play, and I ran over to my manager. I almost started crying, being like, I don't give a shit about this fucking world record. Just get me out of here. So I just pushed through and pushed through, and ended up getting the Guinness Book of World Records. So
nice.
That's a great little thing to tick off the list.
Yeah. Have you got a nice plaque or anything like that in the house?
They presented it with me. Got it in the house on the wall.
Nice.
So it's just when they asked me to do it, I was like, do I want to do this? And I was like, it's one of those things that when are you ever going to do anything like that?
Yeah,
you know, because I did another TV show where I went to Namibia and lived with the tribe and wrote songs with them. And again, I was like, it's just a cool thing to do, to a life experience to have.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And you learn so much from them, you know. It's a bit of a sort of a learning experience, I guess, life learning.
Yeah, nice. I can imagine. Yeah,
so mad. What's next for Busted after this tour now?
So festivals, we're going to be diving into festivals. We've just been asked to do Hampton Court Palace, which is going to be really fun because I love that venue. And yeah,
Bloodstock.
Fantastic. Wacken.
Get Busted done in one of them spiders web fonts. Yeah, you know the ones that you're like.
Yeah, you can't read.
So yeah, you know, like a third eye picture where you're looking closer.
Yeah, we thought about maybe doing some like some secret, like turning up to some festivals under a different name and just doing like a lot of covers or something. That would be quite cool.
That'd be cool.
I mean, like, me on drums, just a three piece.
Definitely do.
So we're thinking about maybe doing a rogue festival performance somewhere.
Oh, that'd be nice.
So everybody listening to this, go to every festival. Busted might be there.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. You've got to give us a pseudonym name. What should the pseudonym name be?
Oh, do you do it as like a lyric or something? So when we
could be.
Had like
could be, oh, could be.
But is that too obvious?
It's too obvious, mate.
Yeah. Oh. If you put like Stoobed, that's Busted, isn't it?
Ooh.
Stoobed.
Like
it. Does make it sound
shit.
Like, I was going to like a terrible punk band.
I don't think I'm going to go see them.
Yeah. Stoob, fuck that. I'd rather see fucking Busted. Or like Stoob. Or D-Stub.
D-Stub. Yeah, D-Stub's good.
Backwards.
Is it?
No.
No, it's not, is it?
But said that would be bugger.
Write it down. What is it?
We work this out now. There's got to be. No, I just go for something daft, like just a man's name.
Yeah,
Clive the band,
or you do David, so people go, who's David?
Oh, that's quite cheeky. Isn't it?
He's good at that.
No.
Okay, David.
I'm enjoying that.
Hell. I might keep you honest. I'm gonna get rid of you, but I think I might keep you.
I'm glad that saved my job.
Yeah, cool. Nice. You?
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you very much for doing this,
mate. It's been very, very, very fun. And keep listening to Sapling, boys. Aww. Keep listening. It's awesome.
We appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Cool. It's a pleasure to see you.
Nice one, dudes.
Thanks. Cheers. Thanks.
Yeah, boys. That was so fun. You're listening to
Sapling Podcast. Yes, that was the fantastic Charlie Simpson there. From Busted, Fight Star, and being Charlie Simpson fame.
What a man.
I love him.
He's just always, so nice.
Always. He's always been like that. Always been absolutely lovely. Welcoming. Yeah.
He's just a laugh.
He's lovely,
You know, he is the party, really.
He enjoyed it.
Yeah, he did. I was very happy of him coming on, as he mentioned. He's had so many tweets and stuff of people wanting to get him on the podcast. So I'm just great that we've actually had him on now, and there's top laugh.
Also, a bit of exclusive news revealed there about possibly new Fight Star.
He's thinking of those riffs.
Attaboy,
he's missing the screams.
I'm looking forward to hearing it. Yes. So future Fight Star. Ooh, exclusive here on Sapling Podcast.
Yeah. But after that, obviously we went to see then play live as well.
Yes.
And a great show.
Yes.
But afterwards, he was talking to me and saying that he was thinking back, and there was a couple of things in this interview, really, he talks about that, A, he would really never talk to people about, or B, that he never really tell anyone else. So,
Nice.
You've just had scoops all around, basically.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Like, he was just open. It was just like we were having conversations as mates, really, you know, just sitting down and just chilling out. There was no pressure with the podcast, even though he did say, like, prior before it, he's like, a little bit nervous about this. And we were like, what, about talking to us two when there's about 7,000 people outside waiting for you? All right, but nice one. But he was he was great. I was going to swear twice then. I had to stop myself twice in sentences from saying he's fucking fantastic.
Well,
so
he is, And yeah, no, like for me as well, he's been so kind for me in the past doing other journalistic things. With him and all that. He's just been the nicest guy and whatnot. So yeah, it was great to catch up with him and get everything on Saturn and podcast.
Wait, what's that noise? That's us pulling our heads out of his bum.
Oh.
Because we were firmly up there then. I took a minute and I stepped out of this and I went, we've given him a proper kiss on the buttocks.
He deserves it, to be fair.
He does.
So.
I don't know if he's got a lovely... Never mind. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, if you want to get in touch with us on Twitter and Instagram, it's at SappeningPod, at SAPPENINPOD. That's Twitter and Instagram. Also, if you've enjoyed this or anything else we've done and you fancy helping us to make this podcast bigger, better, and last, think about joining our Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/sappening, SAPPENIN. And yeah, there's loads of different tiers and stuff for you to check out. And if they don't, if you don't fancy any of them, you can also make up your own tiery type thing. What's the thing? What's it called? You can make up your own cost. That's it, yeah. Cost I was looking for. Jesus Christ.
Or if there's anything you think would be a good addition to the Patreon you'd like to see us do, maybe,
yes,
or anything you feel that would benefit becoming a Patreon, then yeah, just let us know as well and we can
anything.
Do our best.
Gardening, yeah. Window cleaning. For the right tier, we will come around and we will do it. Morgan, mainly. This is a guarantee.
Yeah, go on then. Yeah.
Not a guarantee.
Yeah, but they'd have to pay for my flights. Like,
well, it depends.
Well, if it's Australia, I will, I will definitely come over to Australia to clean your windows.
That's not a euphemism. Morg, actually, I've just realised the date is now... What is the date now?
It's the 5th of April.
5th of April.
Well, yeah, this comes out on the 5th of April.
Yeah, so...
Which is right now.
Yeah. So where
unless you listen to this after the 5th of April, then it's whatever date
obviously
you are listening to it.
Where are you on April the 5th?
Well, I'm in New York City,
so
despite
right now,
despite talking to you in Cardiff.
How weird would it be? No, no, I'm not going to wish that on you.
I don't want to know what you're going to say, though.
You don't, you don't. I can't believe it.
But anyway, technically, I am in New York right now.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Well, I hope you're enjoying this. Are you enjoying yourself?
I think I am.
Brilliant. What do you what have you been up to over there so far?
Well,
what have you done? Wait, when did you get over there?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. So you've been away a couple of days.
Been there a couple of days.
What do you reckon you've done by now?
Sightseeing.
Yeah. What have you seen? Do you reckon you've been to the Statue of Liberty?
I think I've probably gone past it. I don't know. Do you know what the best way to find out?
Have you been in New York before?
No, this is my second time only in America. Well, I should explain what's going on.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm going out to New York City to cover WrestleMania weekend, which
nice.
Is the biggest wrestling week, basically, of the year. And going to see loads of crazy graps and people in underwear throw each other about and hit each other in the face and... all the drama you can ever imagine.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm going to be covering loads of that.
Awesome.
Of stuff. And
you're going to be meeting wrestlers?
Yeah.
Get them to say something then?
Well, I might do.
Definitely. No, not might. Definitely get them. We could play a game. You just get loads of wrestlers saying something and then we could put them on and go, guess the wrestler.
So when I come back, you
Gessler.
So when I come back, you want me to have a load of wrestlers
loads.
Ready?
I don't want you to go sightseeing at all. Ignore what we've just said about you being here. I want you for the first 5 days of that trip to just find wrestlers and just have them say something into your phone.
Okay.
I don't want you to look up or around at anything. I just want you to be on the job.
Just militant. One thing in mind.
Yes. Sappening podcast. I need to make this. Do you know what?
Yeah.
Tell five people in New York about the podcast. Oh, we'll see how quick it spreads in America.
Oh, I might do.
Word of mouth. Good old-fashioned word of mouth. I reckon.
Well, the thing is, over there, they don't really talk on, the subways and stuff
that's true.
So if I just scream Sappening, might catch on.
Yeah, people will instantly go, oh, that must be a podcast. I'll Google it now.
Yeah. So that's a couple of 100,000 million people.
Oh, we're probably rich by now, eh? By the time this comes out.
Good thing I went on this trip, isn't it?
Yeah, nice one. Anyway,
Well,
yeah, go on.
We probably by now, I don't know, but I'm gonna be keeping up to date with my trip on both my personal account, MHRichards_, and the Sappening podcast.
I knew there was a reason this was being brought up, and it was so you could advertise your own social media.
And
Morgan, I hope people have turned off by now.
Oh, I hope not, because every little helps.
Yeah, it does every little helps.
But no, but also we're going to be doing that. I'm going to be doing updates on the Sappening podcast Instagram account.
Instagram account.
This is nightmare now.
Yeah, I know.
New York is nice. Oh, that's funny, because Busted got a song called New York. So,
well, that's linked that, and that's the end of this episode, if not the old podcast. Well done, Morg. This has been episode 19.
But before we go...
Oh, here we go. What do you need now?
We need to say thank you to our Patreons.
Oh, I love the Patreon. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, because we love them so much, Sean.
Yes,
come on.
No. Don't you dare make it out like I don't.
Oh, you do? I think you love them more than me half the time, to be honest.
You hear that? He doesn't love you. So what,
I do. Whoa.
What percentage of the Patreon do you reckon should go to me, everyone?
Hang on. I didn't say anything.
Oh, send your tweets in saying how much of the Patreon should go to Sean. I think all.
Well, I think you'll find after the hot milk episode, we had a couple of people tweeting saying that they liked me as well, Sean.
No,
so.
I think you'll find nobody's done that. Right then, thank you very much to Paul Hirschfield, Emma Barber, Kylie Wheeler, Scarlett Charlton, Janelle Caston, Amy Evans, Melissa O'Shea, Big John Price, Martina McManus, Mark Platten, Marcy Jacobson, Jake Bolter, Scott Jones, Jenny Robertson, Lydia Henderson, and Emily Snoggles.
Snoggles.
Snoggles on them, isn't it?
Snoggles?
Snoggles? Emily, please let us know. Please let us know.
But massive thank you to those Patreons and everyone involved with it. And yeah, if you'd like to get involved again, patreon.com/sappening.
Nice. Thank you very much, everyone. Sorry we've gone on too long towards the end. That's the end of this episode now. Bye.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.